Captain, sensors indicate that we are on an intercept course for Backseat Box Office episode number 222 for the weekend of March 6th through March 8th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office, covering the last 2 weeks because, as you might hear, I still have somewhat of a throat cold, so sorry if this makes it difficult to listen to, but you still have the dulcet tones of Art Santos to pull you through. So, Art, how's it going?
It's going good. Still cold up here. Somebody who I don't trust as far as I can throw said it was going to be in the 70s on Monday. But, you know, I really don't believe that until I see it. And like I said, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. So we'll see what happens.
Now, is this person good looking that was telling you about the weather?
No.
Okay.
It's just one of my coworkers.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about a weather person.
No. This is just somebody who likes to talk out of his butt a lot.
Okay, well, it's always nice to have one of those in your group, I guess.
Yeah.
Here we like to talk about movies. So now we're going to talk about what happened last weekend at the box office, particularly the weekend of February 27th through March 1st. At number one, we have the movie Focus, which came in at $18.6 million. At number two, we had Kingsman: The Secret Service at $11.8 million. At number three, we have the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, $10.8 million. At number four, we have 50 Shades of Grey at $10.5 million. And at number five, another new release, The Lazarus Effect at $10.2 million. And there's our top five. And I'm just going to say one thing about The Lazarus Effect. I think it was directed by Mark Duplass, for the guy who was on The League.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know how sufficiently excellent or crappy that movie is, but it's nice to see that he's very prolific when it comes to movies there.
Yes. I like to see that 50 Shades of Grey dropped like a stone. From number one last week to number four this week, Kingsman held its spot, was two last week, stayed at number two. So it's holding up there, which makes me even more interested to see it.
Something, I'm not going to talk about 50 Shades of Grey too much.
Okay.
Because Tony kind of covered it when he guested, you know, way back.
Seems right.
Like forever. But there was an article in Entertainment Weekly talking about, it is 50 Shades of Grey now going to bring about a trend of bringing the sexy movies back? Because I really can't think of, you know, any other movies in the last 3 or 4 years where it was all about sexy time.
Right.
We'll have to see.
And what are you putting that in like relation to, like, things like Blue Velvet or Sex, Lies, and Videotape?
Yes.
What else would kind of fall into that?
Nine
and a half weeks. Okay.
I will have to come back with that article because they listed like 10 movies.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if Fatal Attraction was in there.
I'd say that was more about the...
And then I'm blanking on...
The bad relationship, but...
I'm blanking on... I think another movie that they mentioned was Indecent Proposal.
Indecent Proposal. I could see putting that one in
there. What was the movie that Douglas and Sharon Stone...
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct, okay.
Now, Basic Instinct and Fatal Attraction, I'm more put in the same category together of more about the drama and less about the sex, But yeah, right. You have to pick that list up and see. Because bringing it back, these movies have always been kind of few and far between. You know, they make a big splash when they come because they're provocative. But I don't know that it's ever going to be anything that's regularly out there, because then it becomes more normal and less provocative. You know, you got to It's like salt, you know, a little bit every now and then.
All right.
All right. Well, let's move on.
Okay, moving on from, okay, so we just completed talking about last week's box office. So now let's talk about what's coming out in the theater this week. So Art, why don't you tell us about Unfinished Business?
Unfinished Business. Okay, that is rated 20% rotten on the tomato meter. 5 reviews counted, 1 fresh, 4 rotten. Well, that's not really a whole lot yet. 93% want to see it out of 12,000 user ratings. A hardworking small business owner, Vince Vaughn, and his 2 associates, Tom Wilkinson, Dave Franco, travel to Europe to close the most important deal of their lives. But what began as a routine business trip goes off the rails in every imaginable and unimaginable way, including unplanned stops at a massive sex fetish event and a global economic summit. Rated R for some strong, risque, sexual content, graphic nudity, and for language and drug use. It's a comedy directed by Ken Scott, written by Stephen Conrad. 1 hour and 30 minutes gets you in and out the door. Who else do we have in this? Sienna Miller, James Marsden, Nick Frost, Christopher Eaton, and June Diane Raphael. So what do you think, sir? I've seen the previews. It looks like it could be funny.
Yeah, I don't know. This looks like a rental to me.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's comedies really have to. I think it has to have a really strong cast to draw me in.
Right.
And I haven't seen anything with Mr. Franco, but I know that the wife and I were Vince Vaughn fans, and I also like Tom Wilkinson. But yeah, I don't know.
James Marsden, come on, Cyclops.
True. Okay, so let's go to the other movie that's coming out wide release. Let's talk about Chappie. Chappie is sitting at a 17%, which somehow was lower than Unfinished Business.
That seems like a crime.
Yeah, it does seem like a crime. Out of 6 reviews, we have 1 fresh and 5 rotten. 96% of the Rotten Tomatoes users want to see it out of almost 23,000. So here's the description. In the near future, crime is patrolled by an oppressive, mechanized police force. But now the people are fighting back. With one police droid, Chappie, is stolen and given new programming, he becomes the first robot with the ability to think and feel for himself. As powerful, destructive forces start to see Chappie as a danger to mankind and order, they will stop at nothing to maintain the status quo and ensure that Chappie is the last of his kind. Rated R for violence, language, and brief nudity, action, and adventure, and it was written by Terry Tatchell, Neil Blomkamp, and directed by Neil Blomkamp. So we have Hugh Jackman, we have Charlton Copley as playing the voice of Chappie, Dev Patel as Dion Wilson. Now, the thing, I don't think I've ever seen a guy named Ninja in a movie. And not only is, apparently in real life, his name is Ninja, but his character name is also Ninja.
Ninja.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, it seems like you were called Ninja. I shouldn't see your picture in the credits. But anyways, we also have Anderson Cooper playing himself. And, oh, there is a cornucopia of people that, Sigourney Weaver is also in this. So, yeah, I was excited by the trailer, but 17% is making me hesitate here.
There's a Mike Blomkamp, nepotism going there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this, you know, they're talking about him doing an Alien movie after this. I wonder if there's going to be any brake pumping by the powers that be after, if this is a disappointment.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully this will do well. I mean, nobody was expecting big things from District 9.
Right.
And that blew up once people started seeing it. I just heard the Alien thing today. I don't know if you, I'm sure you have them. I don't know if you stop any of them regularly, but the gas station that's on my route where I work, they have those televisions that are constantly spewing news clips at you the entire time you're pumping gas.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the clips was talking about, the director of the new movie Chappie talking about possibly being, heading up the next Alien film and talking about his he is some of his design notes, and he's drawn pictures and stuff. That's kind of how he works. And it, he had drawn out Sigourney Weaver as being in the film, and that's something he would like to do, or at least that's what I had heard, this little blurb on the news assault at the gas pump. So it could be interesting. I'm really interested in this. This is something I would like to see. Probably not this weekend, but maybe next weekend, after the word of mouth gets out a little more and we see what people are thinking.
So, that was the two movies coming out wide release for this weekend. So now we're gonna get to share time here. Now, at this part of the show, we usually have Art go first, but we actually got a voicemail from Tad. We haven't heard from Tad in a while, so he's going to tell us about something that he's been watching on TV that he's very excited about.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in with my picks for the week. I know, I'm just kidding. I know we're not doing that anymore. Kind of miss it, though, a little bit. Although, kind of towards the last part of it, my life got kind of hectic, and it just, I wasn't participating quite like I was before, quite like I wanted to. But anyway, yeah, great podcast. And anyway, I'm just calling in for the what are you watching segment of the show. This week, I mainlined the first season of The 100, and I like it. It's a pretty good show. When it came out and everything, it's like, okay, it's a CW show. So I'm like, okay, young, good-looking people. Too much angst and crap for me. I usually don't really, if something's on the CW, I kind of have to. It's not one of my first choices usually, but my stepson was watching it on Netflix. So you can get season one on Netflix, and that's 13 episodes. It's really good. It's the show where there's, World War III, nuclear war, Earth gets destroyed by nuclear war. The only people that survive are people that are up on like 13 space stations, run by different countries. They all come together, connect all the space stations, and they're up there on the space stations for, I don't know, 100 years, 90 something years. And then the space stations start to break down. They can't repair them. So they send 100, teenage, 18, 18 and younger criminals down to the planet to see if it's survivable. Goal, so they know whether or not the rest of them can go. And it's actually pretty good. First season's on Netflix, 13 episodes. The season two is, I think, just about finished on CW. I think you can get it on Hulu, probably Amazon. I know, I think the final five episodes are still on like CW, the website, or you can watch them on demand, something like that. But it's a good show, a lot better than I thought it was going to be, and I'm looking forward to watching the second season when it becomes available on DVD or Netflix or something like that. So that's what I've been watching lately, and keep up the good work, guys. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
And thank you, Tad, for that voicemail. And please send in more. We love that stuff. All right, Art. So thank you,
All
Tad,
right.
for
Well,
that. And
yeah.
Art, why don't you tell us what you've been watching?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first off, I want to thank Tad for giving me a little chuckle there with the us calling in his picks.
Yeah, no. That was hilarious.
Yeah. It actually got me there for a second. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, he was joking. I'm actually interested in that 100. I had heard about it before. And so he was talking about it when it was first running, and now that I know it's available on Netflix, I probably will take the time to at least check out the first episode and see what I think. It does sound interesting. As far as what I've been watching, not what I'm gonna try and watch, I all I have left to watch on Star Wars is the season finale.
Oh, you're killing me.
No, I'm sorry. You can talk about it. It's fine.
You're
Whatever.
killing me, man.
It only just dropped this week. Come on, I've been busy.
Okay, my son was supposed to do his homework and clean his room, but We both watched the season finale because Art's going to talk about it. I know he's going to talk about it, so I got to be prepared.
See, you know what?
Man.
You got to let me know these things ahead of time. You know what? You say, you know what? I am letting my son skip cleaning his room and doing his homework so that I can watch Star Wars. Get on the ball. You just send that little text out, and I'll say, you know what? All right, TV's out. I'm watching something right now. Everybody out of my way.
But I'm not into pressuring you, Art. Come on.
You got to give me a heads. At least give me a heads up so then I have an opportunity. I don't know.
Low stress, anyway. Man. We'll watch it when you watch it.
All right.
It's cool.
So anyway, I was trying to watch it, but it was a rough day today over here. Aubrey did not take a nap today, and so the entire evening was just out of control. Every little thing was a little mini tantrum. And I'm sure she, as soon as she got laid in bed, she went to sleep because she was just a little ball of nerves from not having a nap. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. I think I'm down to two episodes on Agent Carter, and enjoying that. The one episode with the Howling Commandos, I really enjoyed.
And
a little deeper look into what's the character's name?
Thompson.
But is that the one, the Chad Michael Murray?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Thompson.
Yeah. A little deeper look into his character and what's going on. I really like that. Still really enjoying that. I got a movie off of the shelf of movies that I need to see before I get rid of them. And I watched 2 Days in the Valley. Have you ever seen this? Do you know what this is?
The title sounds familiar, but I am drawing a blank about, you know, subject matter, who's in it, et cetera.
So many people are in it. Eric Stoltz, James Spader, Danny Aiello, more people. What is that guy's name? The one from Dumb and Dumber.
Jeff Daniels.
Yes. I know I'm forgetting some people, but it's a really good movie. It's one of those. It's like Crash. It's a bunch of different stories that are all kind of tangled together, that all kind of come together in the end, kind of a thing. And it's a conspiracy, somebody wants to have somebody killed, who's involved, who's not involved, and it's just this kind of slice of life, from the late 80s, early 90s, I think it was early 90s, in the valley in California. And it was a good movie. I was really, I've been wanting to see it for some time. And finally got it watched, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. 2 Days in the Valley. And then the only other thing I watched was new Age of Ultron trailer. And yes, that looks really good. Still really excited. Can't hardly wait. And I've got a news story that's just gonna can't wait to get to it. So why don't you get to sharing so that we can get on to that?
Okay, so I watched two movies over the last 2 weeks. I finished watching Bang Bang, which, if you remember, was the Bollywood action-adventure movie.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it, but it was like a Baywatch action movie. I mean, 'cause there was one action sequence in there, which I had to watch twice because it was so ridiculous. But, you know, I enjoyed everyone that was in it. I watched some of the special features, and I found out that the stunt coordinator was the same guy who did Amazing Spider-Man. So they actually brought in, you know, a ringer to do a lot of the action sequences.
Okay.
But I definitely enjoyed it. It's just the, you know, it's the sensibility difference between, you know, the Indian movies and the movies out here. Where, you know, they have no problem going into a Pizza Hut for one scene. And he's down in a big bottle of Mountain Dew and not being shy about it.
Right.
But it definitely, I think, is worth watching if you like car chases or into, you know, over the top of, on top of over the top action scenes. So I enjoyed it. I think It's definitely worth watching. Now, the other movie that I watched was a documentary, and I'm not usually someone who likes to watch the documentaries because I always get bummed out by documentaries. But this documentary was directed by Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters.
Okay.
And it was basically an oral history of this recording studio that was in Van Nuys. It was just a crap hole little recording studio. But they had a lot of great albums recorded there. Nirvana's Nevermind was recorded there, the very first Fleetwood Mac album. Not that I'm a big Fleetwood Mac fan, but their first album was recorded there. And if you go by the story that's in the documentary, Fleetwood Mac kind of formed at this studio.
Interesting.
And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of pretty big albums. Like every Rick Springfield album was recorded there. And, you know, I really enjoyed this movie because there was a part of my life where I thought I wanted to be a recording engineer at a recording studio. And I worked at a recording studio for a year and a half. And I got my AA in recording arts from Golden West College in Huntington Beach, California. And so this movie brought back a lot of memories. And they were talking about this console that they had at the studio. It was a Neve console, which was kind of the top of the line. Back in the late 60s, early 70s. And I remember at Golden West, they had one of these consoles. So, you know, it was definitely brought back some memories. And part of the reason that I got out of wanting to be a studio rat was that I kept hearing about it's becoming cheaper and cheaper for bands to record their own albums.
Right.
And there's definitely a segment of the documentary where they talk about that. They talk about Pro Tools, and the studio kind of split where one guy left and, you know, went completely digital. And the recording studio, you know, landed on tough times. And if it wasn't for Nirvana, you know, they probably would have folded in the early 90s. I enjoyed this documentary a lot. Just because I've always liked just being a fly on the wall when bands are coming up with ideas for songs. And there's a ton of footage of that kind of stuff. So basically Dave Grohl is doing an album kind of as a tribute because he, you know, when the studio folded, he ponied up and he bought the board and he kind of has his own studio and he wanted to get a lot of people that record their albums there together to do a tribute album.
Okay.
And so there's one track that has a guy from Queens of the Stone Age. I think Josh Homme is his name. And Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails and Grohl all recorded a song together. And then there's another track where it's Grohl and Noah Vasilek, who was the bass player from Nirvana, are recording a song with Paul McCartney. And it's a little surreal kind of seeing, you know, Nirvana with Paul McCartney as the front man.
Wow. That is interesting.
I really enjoyed it. I might have to buy it because you know it's such an incredible story, and you know, and the music industry and the film industry always have these, you know, convergence of luck and fate that have made so many success stories, and this is just another one of those. It's called Sound City. It's called Sound City. I got it from the library, but you can buy it for $8 off of iTunes. And I think the album's going to be out soon that has all the, you know, the songs from all these artists that got together. Okay.
Very cool. So
those are the two movies that I watched. Now, my daughter and I finished Roswell, and now she's asking me, "Do you have anything else that we can watch together, Dad?" And so I just popped in the first disc of Lost. So we put in Lost because an actress that was in Roswell was also in Lost. And
okay.
I wasn't sure if she was going to like Lost. But it might have something to do that, you know, we just got a new TV and, you know, seeing Hawaii on this 55-inch, it's almost not fair. So I don't think it really matters what's going on in the show. But she's completely hooked.
Right,
and I think,
right.
And my son has watched a couple episodes. So now I don't know how I watch movies. I'm stealing like a half hour, 45 minutes every night. So I'm not able to sit through a movie in one night, but the weekends are totally denominated by Lost. So
Right.
we're about two-thirds of the way through season one, and I have all seven seasons, so it's going to take us a while.
Yeah,
I'm just going
no
to say
doubt.
that. And it's definitely weird watching it again, considering that was on 10 years ago.
Right. There is a episode of These Friends of Mine with Ellen DeGeneres. She wins a big screen TV, and one of her friends is this total, you know, TV hating, you know, and they come home to find him just completely vegged out on the couch, hasn't moved since they left. Like, what's going on? He goes, you know what? All these years I thought I hated television. Turns out it just wasn't big enough.
Yeah. All right. So Agent Carter, I'm completely caught up in Agent Carter. Love the finale. I was supremely chilled at the very last scene, and I'm just going to leave it at that until someone else catches up.
Yes, I saw that the new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recorded.
Yes, I didn't watch that.
Right.
Taking the chance, but you're further back than I thought, so I got some time to watch it.
I got some catching up to do. I'm off tomorrow. I'm going to try and make some strides.
And I'm fully caught up in Star Wars Rebels, and I'm loving where they're going. That's all I can really say right now. I did notice that a lot of the music almost sounds like it's completely lifted out of Attack of the Clones. The very first scene, I know it's almost the exact same music of when Obi-Wan fought Jango on the water planet. I'm blanking on what that name was.
Wait, give me one second. It is... Oh, you're killing me.
Camino. It just came to me. Okay.
There you go. Good job.
And the last thing I'm going to talk about is Modern Family. Now, I heard through all the usual channels that they were going to be doing an episode that was completely shot on an iPhone. And that wasn't exactly true. The episode is basically told through the mom's MacBook. And so all of the dialogue pretty much just happens over FaceTime.
Okay.
But it was really good. And I know it's a gimmick, and I know other shows are probably going to copy it, or Modern Family will probably do another one. But the entire family watched it together, and it was really good. And you being an Apple guy... I thought you might get an extra kick out of it, even though,
yeah,
you know, if you don't even, you know, watch it.
That's
so
interesting.
We really liked it. Okay, and I think that covers all the things that I watched over the 2 weeks. I also did watch the Age of Ultron trailer, and you know, it's amazing that there's always, you know, a big nerd question in every trailer. Like the one before this, who was the girl at the waterfall. This one, there is an overhead shot of them basically just circling the wagons because they're being overwhelmed,
yes,
by Ultron clones.
Right.
And the question is, you see on the right someone discharging like red energy from their hands, like a, you know, doing like a laser bolt out of their hand or something like that. And so we don't know if it's Scarlet Witch or if it's Vision.
Right.
And it's not really a big spoiler because, you know, I don't think there's any question that they show Vision's face at the end of the trailer.
Right. Yes, they do.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm considering ponying up with the comic book store because they are having an advanced screening of Age of Ultron on April 28th. So about 4 days before the movie comes out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so it's reserved seating. I don't know what theaters it's in, but I can only assume that it's going to be hardcore comic book fans, and I don't know if I want to watch it with hardcore comic fans.
Okay,
well... I don't want to see you but walk out, oh, that's so wrong!
Okay.
There's no way! Yeah, yeah. So,
well, let's go with that, and let's kick into news.
All right.
And I will lead off with my... You want to talk about hardcore comic book fans.
All right, go ahead.
Here is my leading story. An epic Marvel movie marathon is coming to a lot of theaters. Do you love movies? Do you love them so much you could watch them for 29 straight hours? AMC Theaters and Regal Entertainment have both announced they will be hosting Ultimate Marvel Marathons on April 29th that will conclude with a two-day early look at the Avengers Age of Ultron. So they will be starting at 6 p.m. April 29th. And the list is, they're going to show Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, The First Avenger, The Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Avengers Age of Ultron in 3D.
Ooh, yeah.
It is going to be $65 per ticket, so about $6 per movie. And the Regal Theater will be giving you an exclusive Avengers collectible medallion.
Wow, as if you needed, if the medallion was going to push you over the edge.
Right, well, it could cause you to choose Regal over AMC. Now, see, for me, AMC is like just down the street from where I'm at. There's a big AMC 30 that's been here for years, and they did the last marathon for, I think it was Avengers.
So even if you take into account the current labor code, that is 4 days of work watching Marvel movies. With 2 hours left over.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, if we fast forward to when we're both at retirement age, it could be a marathon week.
Oh, yeah, yeah, movies. Yeah. Right.
I mean, because, you know, throw in Ant-Man, Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
If they're going to, you know, kind of on a side note, they were talking about that some people were disappointed that Spider-Man wasn't, I mean, isn't going to be an Age of Ultron. And would have been worth it to delay it to throw, you know, maybe a scene or two of Spider-Man into this movie.
Right.
But one guy was saying that not only do they have Spider-Man, where they can put Spider-Man, but they'll be able to put Spidey's villains into these Marvel movies now. Because I think that becomes part of the deal.
Okay.
Kind of thing. I don't know if that's true, but I just thought I'd mention it.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My news item is, I guess we need to talk about the Oscars. But not really. I only want to bring up one thing because, well, mainly two things. The thing number one is it was kind of a boring Oscars. I mean, boring, probably more boring than usual because there wasn't a lot of star power as far as the movies were concerned. I mean, even the, you know, the movie that won Best Picture, Birdman, not a lot of people even know what it's about. And you know, a lot of these movies are pretty obscure. But the one thing I do want to talk about, and I wasn't looking forward to watching who's going to win Best Animated Movie, because everywhere I saw was just going to give it to How to Train Your Dragon 2, because that's the Golden Globes gave Best Animated.
Right.
And I am so happy that Big Hero 6 won. So happy. You know, not only was that my favorite animated movie from last year, it's pretty close to my favorite movie from the last year. So I'm very happy. You know, does Pixar need more cred? No.
No.
But I love the heck out of that movie. So I was very happy.
Yeah, I did fail to mention that we did pick up Big Hero 6 on the day after it was available.
Mm-hmm.
I had talked with Aubrey and Brittany about picking it up on my way home from game night on Tuesday. And I was supposed to pick up Big Hero 6 and Creamer. And I ended up staying till almost midnight. And on my way home, nothing's open. And I'm like, oh, that's terrible. So I ended up getting up like an hour early the next day. I ran over to Walmart. I picked up the Creamer because Brittany has to have her coffee or she just doesn't function. I picked up the Creamer and I picked up Big Hero 6. I bring them back home. I put them both in the fridge. And I got home so late, Brittany was already asleep. So I text her in the morning and I'm like, hey, you know what? I got out so late. I didn't stop and get Creamer on the way home. I said, but don't worry. I put in a call to Big Hero 6 and they said they're going to send out Baymax with some Creamer. And she's like, what are you talking about? And then she goes, she opens the fridge. She's like, when did you do this? I'm like, I did it in the morning. She's like, you're so silly. So that day, since they had it first thing in the morning, they watched Big Hero 6 4 times. Every time, yeah. Every time it was over, Aubrey just wanted to watch it again. And so I've probably seen it 3 times since it came out. And I went to the Tuesday Gaming this past Tuesday, and I walk in the door, and what's on all the screens, because it's a sports bar, you know, it's the restaurant and a sports bar where they have this gaming thing, it's Big Hero 6 is playing. So I've seen a lot of Big Hero 6 in the last week.
Yeah, you won't. Here's a funny story. I was talking to our receptionist, and she's you know, younger. She might, you know, early 20s, and I asked her, so you watch any movies? Because the last two movies she was raving about. She was raving about Gone Girl, and she was raving about 50 Shades of Grey. And so I asked her, have you seen any more movies? And she said, well, we watched Big Hero 6, and she said she really liked Big Hero 6, and I was the only one that stayed awake. For Big Hero 6. And I'm all, hold on a second. You're the only one that stayed awake during Big Hero 6. Well, yeah, none of us can sleep. So there was like 5 of us. We watched it at 2 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh, okay, now I don't have to, you know, go to your house and start smacking people around. Okay. Art, what do you got next for news?
Okay, what do I got next for news? Okay, well, going on the back of that with the Oscars may change the best picture race in a huge way. So they're talking about going back on the whole, the change they made 6 years ago to expand the best picture category. They said it really hasn't done anything as far as increasing ratings or getting more buzz about the shows. And so they're talking about moving it back to just 5 with, no option to, add more movies. And I really didn't see the point either, because there were a number of times where there were movies that I thought should have been nominated that weren't, and that, you know, they weren't anywhere near their 10, you know, a couple of times it was like 8, or I think one year it was even only like 6.
Yeah.
So that's a change that they're talking about doing. They're talking about putting it back the way it was. But it's not set in stone yet. It's just something they're talking about. So it's just a change to the Oscars. What do you think about that?
I don't think it really matters.
Yeah, that really doesn't seem like it.
I think that if they're gonna fix the, I don't know if the Oscars can be fixed. I mean, it's an award show, and obviously movies are becoming less and less a huge component of your entertainment dollars. I mean, people are still watching movies, but as far as going out to the movies and that kind of thing, and you know, you're starting to, you know, Netflix wants to start making more movies. You know, I'm kind of rambling here, but it's one of those things that it doesn't really matter, I don't think. I mean, it started because a lot of people up in arms about Dark Knight.
Right. Yeah, that was a big one.
And, you know, and there was a lot of notoriety because of, you know, what happened with Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
You know, if he's still with us, would they have expanded to more movies? I don't know. I think it doesn't really matter. You know, it's not, you know, it's one of those things. Are they one tweak away from having great ratings? No.
They are not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's nice that some of the, you know, movies that will get some publicity just because they got nominated for Best Picture, and they don't get nominated for anything else,
right?
Kind of thing. So yeah, no, it's kind of hard to really care too much about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's a lot of, you know, the reason I don't watch is because it starts too late. It stays on too late. It runs too long. You know, I don't know what they can do to change that. They've got to do something, but it's just not.
Yeah. One of the reasons I watched is cause I wanted them to do a tribute to Robin Williams, but that's just not how they roll. They just kind of, they do that in memoriam where they just do still shots of all the people that passed away.
Right.
There was a, you know, some people were upset that they really didn't do anything for Joan Rivers. Even though I don't remember, I think I know she was in Spaceballs, but other than that, I don't know if she was, you know, in a movie. So anyways, so yeah. All right. So my next and last news story has to do with, what was it called again? Oh, yeah. The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, a friend of a friend of a friend actually adapted, wrote an adapted screenplay that I actually have the PDF of, but it never went anywhere. Supposedly, the producer, David Hyman from Harry Potter, was very interested in bringing it to the big screen, but it never went anywhere. And so the rights have expired, and they reverted back to the Highlands,
Highland
I guess.
Estate. Yeah, the Highland Estate.
Yeah, so but now it's been picked up again, and they're talking about Bryan Singer directing this version, and they want to change the name. So they think it never went anywhere because of the name. The name is confusing. So they're just changing it to Uprising.
Okay.
As opposed to The Moon is a Harsh Measure. It's a science fiction story all about revolution.
Yeah, I guess that's I don't understand.
Yeah. No, this is definitely under the what are you guys thinking?
Right.
File of the news. Yeah. But it is news. I just thought I'd report it.
No, absolutely, so. Absolutely. But you know, as soon as you said it, "Moon is a Harsh Mistress," I'm like, okay, Heinlein. You know, it's like I know I'm right there with you. Those are the people they want to get, the people who know immediately what it is. Right. I have not read that one. The only Heinlein I ever read was "Stranger in a Strange Land," okay. Which I did enjoy. He's a very interesting writing style. He's very dated in his views because you know the time period in which he was writing.
True.
But an interesting writing style and you know an interesting story. So yeah, I'm interested. I don't think they should change the name.
Right.
But whatever they're gonna do, what they're gonna do.
Right.
So
Art, what do you have next?
Okay, I've still got two more, and I'm going to lead with I'm gonna go with this one. Beauty and the Beast has found its Gaston. So they're doing a live action Beauty and the Beast. Emma Watson is going to be Beauty, which we knew. I'm pretty sure we had talked about this, but they now have Luke Evans, Bard.
Yes.
Is going to be
and Gaston. Dracula.
Yes. So I just thought that was interesting. The thing I thought that was really interesting is there is in the actual article, there is an image of a cartoon image of Gaston ripping his shirt open, and it is not an image that was ever used in the show. And the sad thing is, I recognize this image, but I'll let other people go out find the article. It's on Cinema Blend, and me and you will talk about where this particular image comes from because I don't want to talk about it on the air.
Okay.
But I just thought that was interesting. I'm happy to see this guy getting some work. I really enjoyed him in the Hobbit movies, and I did not see Dracula. But somebody was just talking about it recently and talking it up, even as poorly as it did at the box office. Somebody enjoyed it. Somebody whose opinion I trust, and I don't remember who it is right at this moment. So, but Luke Evans, Gaston, can't wait. And last but not least, we've got a trailer for the new Sherlock Holmes, Mr. Holmes, with Ian McKellen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I know we talked about this some time ago, and I am very interested in seeing this just because he is just such a good actor. And has played such iconic roles. I mean, between Magneto and Gandalf, I cannot wait to see what he does with Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So that is it for news. You know, something we didn't talk about, and I think it would be good to end the show on, is the passing of Leonard Nimoy.
Yes. Yes, and, you know, thank you for reminding me, because I told myself that I needed to talk about that, but I, for some reason, forgot to bring it up. Yeah, I don't think that there is another singular actor that would probably have a bigger effect, you know, for me than, you know, Leonard Nimoy. I don't know. What do you think, Art?
I don't know. He's definitely been somebody who has. I mean, I grew up watching the original series. I mean, my dad was a huge, like, science fiction. You know, just he liked watching TV and watching movies. And you know, my dad was not a sports guy. You know, which mm-hmm. shows in myself. We never watched sports. That was never the thing that was on the TV growing up. But when Star Trek was on, we were watching it. Doctor Who, we were watching it. You know, yeah, I've always enjoyed that character. I've enjoyed him in everything I've ever seen. I've got, you know, I was looking over some of the things he had done, and that he was in Fringe. I have the first three seasons of Fringe on DVD. I've never even opened them, but now knowing that he's in them, it now puts that a little higher, you know, on my needs to be watched list.
From where I am sitting, I don't think that there was a more meaningful and shocking character death in a movie than Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan. Yeah, that was powerful.
Spock is an icon.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know if there is a more memorable character that I can think of. I mean, the thing when you talk about, you know, when you get into the argument of when did nerds really start, right? You know, maybe you had math nerds. But, you know, one segment of the population you've always heard about are Trekkies or Star Trek nerds.
Yeah.
Even before Star Wars nerds. And it seems like there's more Star Wars fanboys and girls more than any other, you know, in society right now. At least that's what I see. But yeah, it's, you know, to borrow from Next Generation, all good things must come to an end. And no one lives forever, but it was, I mean, he definitely enriched, you know, my life in a somehow minor way because, you know, just because of movies and, you know, of sharing, you know, enjoyment with friends or strangers, which you become friends later because, you know, because you kind of bond over, you know, Star Trek or whatever. But yeah, it definitely... I mean, it's not like a family member died or anything, but it definitely changed my Friday
right.
when it happened. So he will be greatly missed. And what else do you have to say, Art?
Nothing. I echo all of those sentiments. I mean, yeah, he was an icon, you know, to the end, even still. You know, I so enjoyed seeing him in the new Star Trek movies. I know there are people who had their disappointments with those movies. I thoroughly enjoyed them, and I thoroughly enjoyed the role that he played.
Yeah, just to recap, in my opinion, I enjoyed the first rebooted one. Second one, not so much. Just, you know, just because where they're coming from. But it was definitely, you know, better with Nimoy in it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the things that I will remember the most, I'll also remember his two-episode stint on Next Generation for reunification.
Right.
And I also greatly enjoyed him in the sixth Star Trek, Undiscovered Country. So yeah, and hopefully there you know might bring more fans because you know I don't see a lot of I don't know it's I think you know we've talked Star Wars is kind of dominating right now. I don't see a lot of you know younger. I hate to sound like a grandpa, but I don't see the young people walking around in Star Trek shirts.
Right. I think you're just not in the right places.
Right. Yeah. No, I know.
But you know, yeah, even myself, I've always been more of a Star Wars person. You know, I have probably a half dozen Star Wars shirts. I don't think I have. I know I don't have a single Star Trek shirt.
Right.
And I'm gonna have to rectify that.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got a Star Wars shirt. I might have one.
Uh
But zero on the Star Trek.
Right.
But I kind of don't consider myself one or the other. It's kind of like the kids. I kind of, I love them each in their own way.
I do thoroughly enjoy them both. I had
Yeah.
somebody just ask me, it was just yesterday, talking about Leonard Nimoy passing, and he's like, he knows I'm very nerdy and geeky, and he's like, well, do you have a preference? I'm like, no, I'll watch either one of them. I love them both. I think I probably do like one a little bit better, and it's Star
Right,
Wars. It's just
right.
more, I don't know, it's more, I don't know if it's maybe generational. I was watching Star Trek, and it was definitely something that was older, and when Star Wars came out, that was in my youth. I had a better point of reference as I watched these things come out at the theater,
Well,
kind of a thing.
Star Wars was definitely cooler. It's definitely cooler, and Star Wars kind of goes after your gut and after your emotion, whereas Star Trek is very cerebral.
Right, yeah, which
Yeah.
I totally respect. I mean, that's
Right.
one of the things that, okay, see, but that there's your difference, Star Wars is not science fiction. Star Wars is space opera,
Right.
Science fiction is let's take something and let's expand upon it and let's look at it closely and let's try to have a better understanding for it.
Right.
Let's take this thing and let's examine it. And that's what science fiction is, from just a very basic point of view. And that's what Star Trek does.
Yes.
At its best. At its worst, no. But at its best, that is what it does.
Okay, so to wrap it up, we'll say, Leonard, you live long and prospered, and we'll miss you.
Yes. Good night.
All right. So that concludes this episode of Backseat Box Office. And I would be remiss if I didn't talk about how you can voicemail the show. You can voicemail us or leave us a voicemail at 618-207-4794, or you can go to backseatproducers.com, click on the call me button, and we will call your phone so there won't be any archaic long distance charges.
There you go.
So, other than that, everybody stay safe. Enjoy the newly minted March. Hopefully, you can stay warm wherever you are. And we will catch you next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye. Go watch a movie and tell us about it.